Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the transfigured Christ. Amen. Many of us have literally been to the mountaintop to see the majesty of peaks that is not afforded to us here in southeastern Minnesota, though the rolling beautiful hills and the cliffs around the Mississippi River are breathtaking in their own right. One time, Kathy and I, along with our son Tim, were hiking in the Smoky Mountains. We had heard about an observation tower at the top of one of the mountains. We drove to a parking place where we could access a path up to this observation tower. It was a well-used path, but one that had its pitfalls. At some times, the walking got a little unsafe, it appeared, and we will never, ever forget a permanent sign that had been placed at a juncture at that path that read, "Danger. Control small children. People have died here." And so the path kind of crumbled away, and it looked like a fall to just about nowhere. Another time we were in the Rockies, and we were privileged to come to a perch where we could look down onto the tree line. Trees no longer could survive in the atmosphere. Elks grazing on the land between the tree line and our privileged perch. From there, we drove on a ridge between two mountains. It was majestic, with the land falling off steeply on both sides of the road. Our whole car was transfixed at the sights, including the driver, me. As I was pointing out items of interest, I think I remember Kathy saying to me, "Wouldn't it be better if you kept your eyes on the road?" That slim ribbon of civilization dropped off precipitously to danger on both sides. But isn't that the way it is with most mountaintop experiences? There is majesty and opportunity on the one hand, and on the other hand, there is danger. In our gospel story today from Luke, the transfiguration of our Lord, there is both majesty and danger. Not uncommon in the Gospels for Jesus to absent himself from people in order to find rest and to pray. Just prior to the transfiguration, Jesus and the disciples have been busy. Many healings, opportunities to preach and to teach, even the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has, for the first time, announced to his disciples that he was going to die and rise again. On this day, Jesus decides to take his inner core of disciples, the three always, Peter, James, and John, and they go up on the mountain to pray. It must be very late, because the Bible says that they are weighed down with sleep. But suddenly, their lives light up like a Super Bowl halftime show. Jesus' face and clothing start shining, dazzling white, and two men appear, identified as Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets. They are talking to Jesus. They are talking about his departure, which he is to accomplish at Jerusalem. There's a funny story about a pastor taking departure from his congregation. It was Pastor Johnson's last Sunday with the people, and he had commended himself well in the pulpit. A great message of thanks to the folks and of his promise of continued prayer for their blessing in the years to come. As people were leaving, he was shaking hands and receiving the well wishes of all the people. Up the aisle came an older woman named Martha, her handkerchief out, dabbing at the tears rolling down her cheeks. And Pastor Johnson said, Now, Martha, I'm sad about leaving too. But just think, your next pastor could be even better. Martha replied, yes, yes, pastor, I know. They say that every time, but they keep getting worse. There's nothing humorous about Jesus' departure. There's no humor. It's not a departure from an airport. There's no resignation cake. There's no bon voyage wave at the end of the pier. This is going to be a departure involving a cross. Not many days prior, Jesus had told his disciples that he was about to suffer many things, be rejected by the religious leadership, and be killed. Now the big three, Jesus, Elijah, and Moses, are talking about this. As Jesus is shining like the sun, both majesty and danger. That twin theme carries itself out on the top of the mountain. After Moses and Elijah have left Jesus, and we have this inane insert of Peter, who doesn't know what to do or to say, and stumbles on, well, maybe, you know, maybe Jesus, we should just build a monument to this thing. What if we make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah? The Bible says he doesn't know what he's saying. But then the Bible says a cloud begins to overshadow them. From the brilliance like that of the sun to being enveloped in this murky cloud, they are terrified. Maybe a lot like motorists a week ago, stranded, snow swirling around so they can see nothing, needing rescue, in danger. Oh, I didn't tell you on that smoky mountain hike that three of us took. The higher we climbed toward that lookout tower, the cloudier it got, more and more murky. By the time we got to the base of the tower, we looked up, we couldn't even see the top of the tall tower. We climbed up the very safe path on that tower, got to the top, looked out, and we could see absolutely nothing. Not even the tops of the closest trees. It was eerie to stand there on the top of a mountain, on the top of a tower, and only be able to see the hand in front of your face. Is that what it felt like for the disciples? To be drawn into this murkiness, not knowing whether there was danger or majesty on the other side. But then even from that cloud, there comes majesty, the voice that says, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." And in spite of that majesty, the disciples err on the side of the danger, and they don't say anything to anybody. This Christian enterprise is full of majesty and danger for us, even in 2019. No, I don't think we're too worried about Jesus shining and showing up in our homes. We're probably not too worried about being enveloped in a cloud where we can't see anything, unless you are in a blizzard and worried about your own safety, your life, and your health. But there is very real danger in this Christian enterprise, because you are called to lose your life. Says Jesus, those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The danger is this: we are no longer living our lives for ourselves. We are living our lives for others. Yesterday at Bethel, we held a funeral for a woman who spent her 50 years helping to understand more and more the fact that her life was to serve others. She strove to use every gift she had to help other people's lives improve. She said that one of the things she strove for was to better understand that she owned nothing in this life, that everything she had was a gift from God, including her own life. There's danger in following Christ. It means that you might end up as a nurse in New York City, deciding to volunteer your time to help young girls earn some money and learn some leadership skills by selling Girl Scout cookies in places where a very young woman from the Midwest probably isn't very safe. It might mean that you, through a full-time job, take on further education, doing both at the same time so that you can better serve the children in your pediatric unit. It might mean working through your own physical limitations to serve others, because that is just what God calls us to do. But even with those dangers, there's also majesty. There's the majesty of watching that little Girl Scout beam because of her accomplishments. There's the majesty of bringing dignity to a homeless person on the streets of New York. There's majesty in watching children heal from serious injury or illness. There's majesty of resting in the love of Jesus Christ. Coming to Bethel for worship, we pray anyway, is closer to majesty each week than it is to danger. We are lifted up by music and the sacraments, by prayer and the spoken word, by fellowship, the love and care of others. Sometimes, and I have heard you say this, we wish we could just stay on the mountaintop. But the world beckons. And the world can be a dangerous place. With this Wednesday, we begin our Lenten journey, Ash Wednesday. It is a journey both of danger to the cross and a journey to majesty, the resurrection. May we listen carefully to the voice from the cloud. This is my Son. My chosen, listen to him. Amen. Hymn 315, please rise and sing.